The cultural and business scene of Sacramento has changed, but it's still changing, and as history shows, it will evolve continually. So how are we different, and where are we going? Our guest, Trey Borden, works to develop engaging spaces and communities and joins me next on Studio Sacramento. Trey, everywhere you go in Sacramento these days, you hear people saying, Sacramento's changing, it's different than it was before. And as a lifelong resident and somebody who is here and has made an investment here, but also, you know, goes out across the country and around the world and comes and brings things back, how do you see Sacramento changing?
Well, I think it's changed a lot. I think one of the most important changes is that expectations have changed. You know, when I grew up here in high school, I graduated, I was like, don't want to be a lawyer, don't want to be a dentist, don't want to be a lobbyist, peace. And I think that a lot of people, kind of in my demo, left with those expectations that there was just nothing here for people who had greater ambitions. And I think that now, you know, having been back here for about 11 years, people expect more. People actually are creating more. People are looking around the globe at what people are doing and innovating and saying, like, why can't we do that here? So I think that the ethos has changed a lot. You know, on top of the fact that everywhere you go, there's cranes, you have all these different cultural districts that are coming up. And I think that the real question is kind of, where's this all going? And that's really what's changed, is the momentum's here. And I think people understand what's at stake and what the potential could be.
Was this change event driven? Was it just sort of, you know, a new generation comes in with new ideas? What do you think has been behind this?
Well, I think all change is people driven. You know, people like, you know, not just myself, but other people who either did not leave or came and, you know, returned immediately after college and said, what can I do here that I can't do anywhere else? I know everyone. There's a lot of potential that's being left on the table. There's not a lot of people who are able to hustle and kind of mingle and kind of turn something that's a disadvantage into an advantage. And Sacramento, at least until very recently, was a great place to do that. And so I think that you had a lot of people who had great ambitions for themselves, wanted to use their hometown as a base to experiment, to try things, and to try and push the community forward. And I think that's really, and they did events, they created small businesses, they created nonprofits and campaigns, they ran for office, they became very vocal critics and vocal supporters of the region. So I think that's what drove it. That's what continues to drive it.
What would, if you were to pick one thing as a piece of evidence to say, okay, this really demonstrates how different we are today than we were when you were growing up, what would it be?
Well, I mean, love it or hate it, I would say that the Golden One Center is the biggest emblem of change. I mean, this has overnight transformed the face of the city, the skyline of the city, the momentum in downtown. It spurred so many people looking at Sacramento. And I think that that's just the most visible evidence. Now, you can argue whether or not you like what it's done. I mean, certainly it's driven prices up. It's kind of made a lot of people outside the region look to us for investment, and that's good and bad, but I think you can't ignore the impact that it's had. And I think that when you look at places like the rail yards, which are still blank canvases, there's a lot of lessons to learn from that. But I'd say if you were in a, you know, a caterpillar that went to sleep in 2014 and woke up today, you'd say, what, when you saw that center? And I think that's really kind of the indicative of the opportunity and kind of some of the risks that we face as a region.
Now, recently you helped put on a conference called Vanguard that was a lot of thought leaders. Describe the conference and what it was trying to achieve in coming to Sacramento.
So Vanguard's a really important conference. It's from an organization called Next City. They're a digital media platform that really talks about regions that are using kind of progressive thought to center equity and development in transit and housing and culture. And so every year they gather 40 kind of top urban leaders from around the country, sometimes around the world. At this point, it's around the world. And they visit a city, get to learn it, understand its opportunities and its kind of obstacles, and then they pitch ideas for redevelopment to city leaders.
So, and we got this conference.
We got this, and we had applied for it before, but we got it for 2019, which I think was like such the perfect time. I attended with when it was in Houston, which is especially meaningful because my mom was from Houston, and she went, and so we were able to visit her kind of Fifth Ward neighborhood and then look at the demographic shifts and kind of say what would happen to allow these people to be empowered. And so I've gone since in New Orleans, and it was also in Newcastle, Australia. I have a lot of Australian friends now who are reporting on what's happening there, by the way. But in Sacramento, the point of bringing it here was to say, Sacramento's at this kind of fork in the road. We have all this momentum. We have, you know, so much money that's coming to the region from, you know, from within and a lot from without. And who is the city destined to work for? Who is in the driver's seat? How are they centering equity? And so a lot of times, like, you'll advocate or I'll advocate for things, and people hear the same thing from you all the time. They don't want to hear it half the time. But when you bring in experts from around the world who have way different assumptions about how cities can work, who they can work for, what types of innovations are possible, then you can really get a perspective on what your opportunities are as a region.
Any observations by the participants jump out at you that they said, wow, Sacramento could be this or should be looking at that, or why aren't we doing this?
Yes.
Do tell.
There was one of the things I wanted them to do was to say, look, Sacramento touts its diversity. You know, they looked at all the numbers, they kind of went around the city, and they heard from a lot of leaders and organizations. And the conference culminates in an experience called the Big Idea Challenge, where they get a site and teams are breaking up, and then they pitch the city on what they would do if they were in charge of it or what they recommend the city do. And a lot of them said they were impressed with what they saw. It was their first visit to Sacramento, beautiful city, lots of diversity, lots of momentum. Why are we only hearing from white people? Why do we see the same type of person in a leadership position? And when we see presentations about who they envision inhabiting these spaces that we're developing, it's like yuppies with wine. And, you know, we get that there's an economic development component of that, but they were very concerned that the from the top level down, the people who are the most vulnerable, the people who actually make up the real kind of culture of this region, are not in the driver's seat. And so when you don't have those people in the driver's seat, you end up creating spaces and places and neighborhoods and communities that don't include everyone, and they don't want to see Sacramento become San Francisco.
Now, when participants made that observation, was it only amongst themselves, or was it to a broader audience?
No, it was to the mayor. It was, so we had, you know, Mayor Steinberg, we had Steve Hansen, we had a smattering of DSP and other local officials on the judging panel. And that's what I wanted to create, as I wanted to give these people who had no skin in the game but did have a lot of expertise to say bluntly to our community what they thought we could do to kind of become the Sacramento of the future.
I'm
the city
fascinated.
Of the future.
What was the reaction?
I mean, some of them, I mean, they took it on the chin, and there was lots of good things as well. But you asked for, like, the most pointed and necessary thing. And I think that, you know, it was hard to hear. I think that there's a lot of people here who hold themselves in very high regard and who don't like being told to their face that there's things that they're missing, that they have giant blind spots. And I think that it can be especially difficult to hear that from people whose expertise you can't denigrate or kind of deny. And I think that was what was really critical, is these are people that we flew in here because they're so good at creating these opportunities in cities. And Sacramento, which is on the precipice of reaching its great potential or kind of falling in line with some of the cities that have faltered around this. And I think there's a lot of high stakes.
What were some of the other things, idea-wise, that this group shared in terms of things we might be thinking about or directions we might go?
I think that one of the main, you know, and I've attended this conference several times, and I think the thing you come away with is, how are you reaching people and how are you centering people? You know, thinking about how to develop spaces or create businesses or marketing campaigns, you know, to promote something substantive, that's all great. But who is this community working for? And how are you centering those people in not just the kind of participation in the ideas you execute, but in the generation of the ideas you execute and the approval of ideas that we execute? And I think that there, Sacramento has a small town feel despite its size. And so you're able to get the right people in the room to promote a radical idea, but are those people in the room?
I'm interested, though, here's one thing you didn't mention about economically participating in those ideas. Was that an intentional omission, or is that buried in there?
It's buried in there. I mean, I think we're talking about participation in terms of who is allowed to start businesses, whose communities are kind of given access to economic opportunity, what kind of customer base are we trying to cultivate? Are we creating and permitting ideas that actually attract different types of consumers to not only the momentum here in the grid, but also momentum in the neighborhoods where these people live? You know, when the Stephon Clark shooting happened, it began a conversation about the kind of economic desperation that these communities have had for generations and how we've just allowed that to be the status quo. And if it's not just about policing, it's about what are these people supposed to do who have no access to education or economic opportunity or jobs, and we can't just continue to ignore that and isolate that and expect our community to thrive. And I think that was an observation that was very pointed.
And what did they like best about what's happened here so far?
I think that they like the fact that we are still authentically Sacramento in their eyes. We have not become a co-opted Bay Area. Despite some of our best efforts to brand ourselves as like an extension of the Bay, we are distinctly Sacramento. We have a beautiful feel. A lot of them were actually just impressed by how beautiful the city was. I think they had, you know, and you forget when you're from here, like that this actually is a pretty beautiful place to grow up and to live. And they were struck by that. They were struck by the access to natural resources. They were struck by the fact that you, if you travel around enough, do see a lot of different types of people here. And I think that that's what their challenge was, is like, you have resources that no other city has, and it's people. So you're leaving options on the table and potential on the table to not leverage all of those people.
Wow. So when you look at the people of Sacramento and how Sacramento is evolving, you touched on it, but go a little bit deeper. Who's left out of the conversation?
I mean, poor people, people of color, people of who are in areas that we don't consider to be like the most attractive. I think that it's the same
such
people.
As?
I mean, we're leaving Rio Linda, you know, we're leaving out Del Paso, we're leaving out super duper Meadowview. I mean, places that I think have been allowed to languish and, you know, that are not necessarily the most politically organized. But there's also a lot of reasons for that that are, you know, fault is on both sides, but it's the charge of leadership to lead and the charge of leadership to understand where priorities need to go. And I think that is, if we're going to kind of be a successful city that can say, we represent the future of America, we represent globalization in a positive way that empowers all types of people, not just the people who reap the spoils of efficiencies, I think that is what our... No one's figured that out. And we're not the only city who can say, like, we have a lot of people of color who are missing out on the opportunities. That's not unique to us. But what is unique to us is that we have so many different types of people with whom to generate ideas and innovations. There's a lot of people who, if we ask them, could say, here's what would work in my community, or here's like how me and my neighbor would respond to something. And I think that we keep falling flat because the same people keep pitching ideas and then being allowed to execute them.
Let's talk about those ideas. Of the ideas that have been generated to try and move Sacramento forward, say in the past 5-10 years, what from your standpoint has been the most successful in addressing the very issues you just raised?
I mean, I was thinking that a lot about that before I came here, is like, what are movements that I think have moved the needle in this way? I mean, I can think of organizations that have kind of structured themselves around solving these problems. I think SMUD is a good example. My brief former employer, SMUD, they have actually put people in charge of initiatives that are reaching into these communities like Meadowview, like Mack Road, like Del Paso, these promise zone areas, and actually putting resources behind these efforts and then really putting the community in the front seat in terms of developing what these initiatives will look like. So I can think of instances of leadership where they are kind of putting their money where their mouth is. In terms of things that the city has done, I can't name that many. I mean, I think that, like, you know, to go back to stuff.
What about the innovation grant? There was an innovation grant for art and business and things like that. That was
the Rails grant? I mean, the Rails grant was definitely a great opportunity to recognize actors in the innovation space, and I wasn't the recipient of that. I didn't apply to that, and I think that some people were able to get some seed money to get some ideas going. But when you look at like the Creative Economy Grant, which is, you know, $5,000 for most of the participants, I think 25 for a few, I think a lot of that went to established organizations. I mean, you're looking at, you know, a crumb of sand when we need a beach. And I think that, like, when you only, you know, and we just recently had this happen where the city manager wanted to cut all arts funding, you know, after we had the Measure U pass. And that's where you spend your money and who you put in charge, that's your priorities, whether you say something different or not. And I think that the way we allocate resources in this region often goes to the people who have the closest proximity to decision makers, which implicitly excludes many, many people. Maybe not you and me, but we're not representative of a lot of people of color in terms of like our access to leadership and economy and capital. And I think that if we're going to get different outcomes, we need to have different processes.
Let's talk for a minute about the actors then. We're talking about institutions, and we did talk a little bit about the existing power structures leadership. What members of your generation locally do you see as making the most impact, whether it's arts, culture, commerce, whatever, today that are making the positive difference for Sacramento?
Well, I mean, there's something to be said for the people who are going into this fight and trying to actually be the people mediating this very difficult conversation. I would pinpoint Kelly Rivas. So she's a millennial, she's a woman, she's the chief of staff of the mayor. She's a very unenviable job 99% of the time of actually being the empathy and compassion that's kind of getting all everyone to the table and doing the really gritty and sometimes, and definitely kind of not remarked upon hard work of getting people to the table and making them feel listened to and then supporting leadership in the community and kind of coming up with some change. I think people like that who are the kind of interstitial fluid of a lot of these mechanisms, like they don't get talked about enough. I mean, when we talk about millennials in the economic development space, I mean, a lot of the people I think of are acting in kind of small business areas. I mean, you look at places like Scout, they're kind of doing home design and kind of able to affect the look and feel of our region. I think you look at Unseen Heroes, which has been responsible for some of the most widespread kind of events that happen, you know, from their long ago kind of pop-up in Del Paso to the Dîner en Blanc to many of the events that are activating Oak Park and other Midtown neighborhoods. So I think you're kind of seeing people doing things in their own silos, but it's hard to pinpoint someone who has been supported with, you know, the full force of the city.
Well, let's reframe it then. Is there a sector where, compared to where it is that we've historically been, we've really done a moonshot and excelled in terms of members of your generation coming to the fore and making a structural, permanent, positive change in changing the nature of the conversations and the outcomes?
I'd say culture. I mean, that's where we've been the most impactful. I mean, that's my sector, but I think kind of when you don't have a ton of resources and you want to make a big impact, culture is your root. You know, whether that's making art, whether that's kind of creating events and kind of communities. I mean, you see things like even TBD, which everyone admits was like pretty, you know, mismanaged, but like the goals of it and who it was able to gather around it, there's been nothing like it really since.
Describe what TBD was.
TBD was a music festival and arts festival that existed in West Sac on the riverfront. It was born out of Launch, which was kind of its nascent programming around arts and fashion and music and culture. And that became TBD Festival, which was, you know, up to that point, I think one of the largest homegrown music festivals. We had, you know, Blondie and Justice and a million other bands that people were really excited about. And took off a bit too much right off the bat in terms of shooting for the moon without kind of having the experience and the infrastructure, and also lacking really institutional support to pull that off. I mean, you look at the institutional support behind with Wide Open Walls now, and why that's become so successful. I mean, A, you're bringing in so many artists to the region that are notable, and you're literally changing the face of the city overnight every year. And there's a lot to commend with that. But that has the full force of Visit Sacramento, Matsui, economic development, the city of Sacramento. I mean, every single politician is on their Instagram promoting it.
I want to use that as an example because there are those who have said that Wide Open Walls is indicative of the problem of Sacramento in that in bringing in these artists from all these other places, the artists from the very communities that you named earlier, Del Paso Heights, Rio Linda, Meadowview, places like that, they can't get in. They don't get the commissions. And so that really raises a bigger question, which is that this new Sacramento that is being created and we are all participating in creating, is it success if all of our walls are decorated by people outside of the region? And I'm not making that statement. I'm saying that...
I can make that statement. I mean, I think that, look, I mean, look who's in charge of that festival. These are not artists, like, it's not people who've been making work and finally Visit Sacramento and the mayor said, we're gonna give you a ton of resources to expand what you're doing. You know, the first time they did that, they brought in someone from Los Angeles, and the reason they brought him in was because of his connections to globally famous artists, Instagram famous artists, which is what they felt they needed to kind of justify the use of resources for this. Then he came in and they got taken over by someone local, someone older, someone who had no previous connection really to kind of the grassroots arts movement, culture movement here in Sacramento. And I think that the people whose priorities are in charge of this, they're like, we want other people to like this. We want people to write about it all around the nation. And that has nothing to do with the people who are actually like making culture relevant here. You know, I mean, look at this. I mean,
come on, bring it.
When I think about what cities, their residents really go out in the world and talk about their city with love and admiration and excitement. You know, you look at people from Mexico City, they come back and like, look at Diego Rivera, like there's these all amazing murals all around the city. They're really excited to show you something that came from them. No one's going anywhere and looking at and saying, look at the Johnny Cash mural we have. That is not something that, to me, if you're gonna make a 20-story mural that's emblematic of the city, the reason something like that was chosen is because it's inoffensive, it kind of like gets a lot of press, and it literally means nothing to anyone that lives here.
So it's not authentically Sacramento?
Not at all. I mean, imagine if that had been Stephon Clark, or imagine if that had been, you know, a very potent Native American symbol to kind of honor the region's history. That, to me, people would be like, that's odd
so,
and awesome.
So maybe the premise of that Sacramento's changing isn't quite as true as we might assume, because for years, it has been talked about and acknowledged that we're always trying to mimic some other place. You even alluded to it with the Bay Area, right?
Sure.
So are we still in a place where we haven't gotten to the place where
we have our own swagger.
Yeah, we have our own swagger, where it is that we love what we are, and that's what we're transmitting to the world.
There is still a bit of insecurity. I think if you ask the people that, like, I know, you know, what excites them about being here, they do like living here. They do like the other people and the other creatives. There's such a tight-knit creative community here. But I think that when the people who are a little bit disconnected from that, who are in charge, they want to kind of ride that wave of momentum, but they don't want to empower the people who created that momentum. So you get this big disconnect where, like, you know, we're doing giant murals on the freeway. They didn't come to me and Sophia Hennessy and say, we love what you did there. Let's give you $1 million to kind of make this happen all over the city. They said, oh, they're doing that. Let's do it, but in a way that makes us feel safe and comfortable. And I think that the safe and comfortable is what we get, and the opportunity for spectacular and innovative and authentic is what we lose. And I think that if we're serious about being a city that can stand on its own 2 feet and say, I don't care what y'all think, because what's going on here is dope, then we have to actually get the dope people in charge of it.
Where is it that millennials, your generation, has not made the impact in Sacramento where you assumed you would have by now?
Well, I would say politically, you're starting to see much more activity than in the past. You know, we have one millennial on council now. I mean, millennial-ish. but I think that, you know, we have Mai Vang running. We have Katie Valenzuela running. Like, we have people who are starting to say, we actually do want to be in the driver's seat, and we're going to run against people who have a lot of establishment support because we think it's the right thing to do, and we're the ones who should be occupying these seats. But that's been very difficult because we're not a region that cultivates talent like that.
So one thing that sometimes gets talked about is this. Does your generation have a little bit of too much of an entitlement mentality, where it is that you just assume that you should have an impact or you should be in charge? Have you guys paid your dues yet, or is that even a fair question?
I don't think it's a fair question, because look at what, I mean, I won't say y'all have done, but I think when you look at look at the results of what's happened from people who would say that their dues are paid. I mean, you're talking about people who have, like, let neighborhoods languish, who have cultivated a misogynistic and racist power structure, people who, like, deny, I mean, this is not Sacramento, but I'm saying, and you're talking about kind of a generational difference. You know, a lot of the results that we're dealing with now are not our fault. And so saying that we're kind of observing the landscape and wanting to make some bold moves to kind of correct the course, I don't think that's entitlement. I think that's like we have to live with the consequences of our actions, and a lot of the people in charge don't. And so I think that we have investment in creating the community that we want to live in and continue to live in for decades. And I think that I wouldn't call it, there are certainly examples of entitlement. I certainly have and been entitled my damn self from time to time. But I think that the impetus for that is really wanting to see change now and knowing that the people in charge are driven by comfort and kind of like almost politeness.
Let me go back to the disconnect between generations for a second. So you're on the ground and you see all these things happening. Speak to my generation for a second and tell us, what is it that we're missing out on by continuing on the same routines, going to the same places that we've gone all of our lives, that's happening right under our noses, that we should be experiencing and we should be a part of?
You know, I wrote an article in the Bee a couple years ago that said, there is such an opportunity for collaboration here that is missing. You know, a lot of us are out here doing the dirty work and creating the things out of scratch, bootstrapping a lot of efforts. You guys have experience and resources. You know how the levers are pulled. You know how to get policies changed. You know how to get complicated things through, a process that a lot of us are not familiar with. And so I think that you know, what you're missing is the opportunity to kind of see your best dreams for Sacramento realized through the ideas that you couldn't possibly generate, but through your stewardship. And also, some of you guys have great ideas, but I think that the best ideas, the most revolutionary ideas in the region, are beaten down and diluted to the point where they don't make the impact. And then people think, well, why did we put all of this effort into something radical? It didn't work. It's like, that wasn't the original idea a lot of the time. And I think that talking to people like you, how do we agree on a vision? I think all agree that we want a Sacramento that is remarkable, that is an exemplar for cities around the world. Not because we want a bunch of plaques, but because we actually want to create a city that people are proud to live in and that works for far more people than historically any city has.
I'm glad you're still committed, and it's obviously that you haven't lost your passion. Thanks, Trey. And that's our show. Thanks to our guest, and thanks to you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syfax. See you next time right here on KVIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KVIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.